Would you rather be real famous or Twitter famous? During the pandemic, is there even a difference? I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marianne Winnick reviews a memoir about a mysterious Twitterati figure, plus another that is best described as a sexy blend of pop culture, gender theory, and magical realism. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Lisa. People seem to either love or hate Duchess Goldblatt, who is in fact not even a real person, but rather an identity cooked up for Twitter. Her profile pic is a 17th century painting of a kindly old Dutch woman, and she dispenses whimsical insights like New Year's Eve. Steam the new year in a pot of water with a bay leaf. Any months that don't open on their own are no good. Throw them out. Or, what's that beautiful Japanese word that means both regretting your lost youth and beauty and too hungover to make coffee? The Duchess has more than 24,000 devoted followers, many of them famous authors, and now she has entered traditional media with a memoir called Becoming Duchess Goldblatt by Anonymous. Anonymous still doesn't want anyone to know who she really is, but she does tell the backstory of her brilliant social media success. She was going through a really terrible time, recently divorced, got only partial custody of her son, deserted by friends and family, when someone turned her on to the distractions of Twitter. Feeling too vulnerable to get on as her real self, she invented Duchess Goldblatt, who is not royalty, it turns out, but is named after a dog called Duchess. Remember the game where you find your stripper name by putting the name of your first pet together with your mother's maiden name? Well, Anonymous cleverly used someone else's dog and someone else's mother, all the better to remain unknown. When I came upon the starred review of the book in Kirkus, I was surprised that I didn't know anything about it. Her worshippers included Elizabeth McCracken, Celeste Ng, Lyle Lovett, many of my faves. Though I found it charming and uplifting, two friends I really respect have told me I'm crazy. Weekly Reader listeners, let me know what you think. Another party I've come a little late to is the novel Paul Takes the Form of a Mortal Girl by Andrea Lawler, a trans person who published this debut at 48 years old. The main character, Paul Polydorus, is also known as Polly. He can change his body back and forth from male to female. The story is set in 1993, and Paul/Polly travels around hitting all the hotspots of queer culture, from the Michigan Women's Festival to Provincetown to San Francisco. As they put it in The New Yorker, the book mixes pop culture, gender theory, and smut. Personally, I haven't read sex scenes like this since, well, maybe never. Lawler's writing is sharp, funny, and super smart. Quote, Paul liked to pick out secretly cool people, people too cool to flash their coolness. The cool people were not always or even usually the same as the shiny people. Often someone shiny was too conventionally good-looking to be cool, but they were still compelling in terms of sheer wattage. Paul knew he wasn't good-looking enough to be shiny, but could be cool in certain contexts. Cool was relational and conceptual. Cool took work. Cool was a meritocracy which, with all its flaws, he still preferred to the aristocracy of genetics. Yeah, like that.
The books are Duchess Goldblatt by Anonymous and Paul Takes the Form of a Mortal Girl by Andrea Lawler. You can find more information about these titles, links to reviews, and our podcast at wipr.org/programs/weekly-reader. That's also where you'll find hundreds of book recommendations from past episodes of The Weekly Reader, so you'll always have something wonderful to read. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marianne Winnick.